Well, please turn back in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John, chapter 6. We come this evening to the closing verses of the Bread of Life discourse, verses 49 to 59. You might have noticed earlier in our reading of these verses that they begin and end with the same phrase. This phrase, it forms like a set of bookends, if you like, to our text. Verse 49, it reads, "Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is a bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die." And then verse 58, very similar. "Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever." And these bookends, they speak of a contrast between the two breads, the manna and the bread of heaven, Jesus. And the focus is on the effect of the bread of life rather than the manna. The focus is on eternal life rather than temporary physical life. Jesus is saying the manna in the wilderness, heaven sent though it was and useful for sustaining natural life, it could not give eternal life. He says the proof is irrefutable. Your forefathers, they all died. They didn't live forever. And by contrast, Jesus is the bread that comes down from heaven. And if anyone eats of this bread, eternal life is the result. And so we want to come this evening to think about and to give thanks for eternal life. Eternal life. It's one of those phrases that is so familiar and we automatically assume that we know what it means. Few of us ever really think about it. Eternal life. Perhaps it's because it's part of the most famous Bible verse ever. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And eternal life is one of the central themes of John. It permeates throughout his whole gospel. At the very beginning of the gospel, John 1:4, John reveals that in Jesus is life. And Jesus himself is recorded discussing eternal life in John on almost a dozen occasions. And indeed, three times in this Bread of Life discourse, he speaks of eternal life. Verse 27, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life." Verse 40, "My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life." And 54, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." The greatest need for any person is the need for eternal life. We don't need to feel wonderful about ourselves. We don't need to have enjoyable experiences or to simply feel good. Our greatest need is eternal life. And indeed, this need is built into us. We think firstly, the quest for eternal life. The quest for eternal life. Apparently, there are quite a number of people who are prepared to pay huge sums of money to have their bodies frozen in the hopes that one day science will bring them back from the dead. These cryonicists, they want to be frozen in liquid nitrogen as soon as they are dead in the hope that science will one day find a way to revive them and rejuvenate them. They want to live forever. They want eternal life. Indeed, every human being has this desire. They know within themselves that they're made for something more than this life. They've been made for eternity. They know that eternity exists. All of mankind longs for something longer than this life. Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has set eternity in the hearts of men. God has set eternity and the desire for it in our hearts. And consequently, we can never really be finally satisfied with anything the world can offer us. Made in God's image, created by Him, we must remain forever dissatisfied until we live in fellowship with Him in glory. We're bound by time, but we're wired for eternity. We know that there must be something more than this life. We've been made for more than vain toil. We long for eternity. There's this quest of mankind to find something and to live without end, to live without dying. We want our work to endure forever. We want our joy to endure forever. We want our pleasure to endure forever. We want our life to endure forever. And it doesn't. Or does it? In John 6, Jesus gives the secret to living forever. John 6:51. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Of course, it's not a literal command. Jesus isn't encouraging cannibalism. But he's explaining in picture language the taking him to be ours and the believing and the trusting in him. And this is where Christianity differs from every other religion, in that we believe our eternal status depends on our relationship with Jesus. We really believe that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We really believe that. And for many of us this evening, the quest is over. We have found the bread of life, and he's called us to himself. We have taken him to be ours. Thanks be to God. But there may be some here this evening who are still searching. There's maybe some still on that quest, and you know there's something more to life than just our short existence here. You know that you've been made for more. You know there must be more. Eternity, it's wired into you. Let me say again, the Bible is quite clear that everyone, once they die, will either spend eternal life with God or eternal condemnation in hell. Will you not choose life? Will you not choose life? Let me tell you something, secondly, of the quality of this eternal life. The quality of eternal life. When Jesus talks about eternal life, he isn't talking about merely living forever in this world. He isn't talking about the secret of immortality here and now. To live forever in this world would be a nightmare. In fact, it would be more of a curse than a blessing. Growing old isn't always a peaceful, graceful thing. Age brings with it pain and hardship and difficulties and worry. And the idea of simply getting older and older and older and older without dying, that surely isn't an appealing idea. But the eternal life Jesus speaks about is not only an infinite quantity of time, but it's an eternal quality of time. We should think quality as well as quantity when it comes to eternal life. The best thing isn't the length. The best thing isn't the length, but it's the characteristics of the life to come. It's an eternity without sin, without regret, without shame. It's full of uninterrupted fellowship with God's people from all nations and all periods in history. We will enjoy resurrected bodies. No pain, no sore joints, no sore backs, no toothaches, no mouth ulcers, no cancer. We will be filled with perfect joy. We will know heavenly rest, but at the same time, we will not be idle. We will worship without any hindrance or any distraction. It will be a real physical existence. We will be given new tasks, new forms of service. It will be glorious. And Scripture consistently portrays this new creation as a place of great beauty and joy. But more important than all the physical beauty, more important than the fellowship we will enjoy eternally with God's people, more important than our freedom from pain and sorrow and suffering, will be the fact that we will be in the presence of Jesus. And we will enjoy unhindered fellowship with Him. Think of that when you think of eternal life. It's the quality, not only the quantity. An intimate relationship with Jesus forever and ever and ever. And friends, look with me at the verse and see something extraordinary. Verse 54. We have this now. Right now, we have eternal life. Eternal life, it isn't just something that awaits us after death. Jesus tells us that this eternal life begins here and now in this present world. He says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Not will have, but has eternal life. If you look back to John 5, verse 24, it's something similar. John 5, 24. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. It's present tense. Eternal life begins at the very moment when those who are dead in their sins are made alive in Christ. Friends, we have eternal life now. Not in all its fullness, but we have it now to a degree. Even now, you can experience overcoming sin more and more. Even now, you can experience closer and more intimate fellowship with God's people. You can know a taste of heavenly joy. You can have such close, intimate fellowship with God that you can wonder how heaven can beat it. Just like the way you ladies can go into Boots and get a sample of a certain perfume, so we in our lives have countless samples, tasters, testers of the fragrance of heaven. A breathtaking view, a delicious meal, a spine-tingling piece of music, a moving worship experience, tasters, samples of eternal life. This idea of eternal life, it doesn't simply refer to one day going to heaven. Yes, it does include it. But Jesus speaks of eternal life as a present thing. A present reality. This is eternal life. Not this shall be eternal life. It commences here. It begins in the life of the believer as soon as they are born again. If you're a Christian this evening, you have received eternal life. A smoker who has received a lung transplant lives a totally different life. Well, they should do. Friends, we have received eternal life. We should live a completely different life. Are you living like one who has received eternal life? Can people spot you as one who has eternal life? Some of you may feel, very particularly in these days, the weakness of your body. Remember, you have eternal life. Some of you may be sitting beside friends and family who are feeling particularly the weakness of their human body. Friends, a believer has received eternal life now. We have it to a degree, but we have it now. If you're not a Christian this evening, will you not choose this life? Will you not choose life? The quest, the quality, and thirdly, the quantity. The quantity of eternal life. It does not only have the idea of quality, it does also speak about quantity or duration. It will be everlasting. We will live forever in this amazing existence. Eternal life implies that what God has started, He will never stop. Isn't it true that we get frustrated by our short existence here in this life? There are not enough days in the week. At its longest, life is too short. There's so much in this world to discover, such a variety of experiences to enjoy, yet there's so little time available. How many places there are that we will never visit. Books we will never read. Great paintings which we will never look at. Much music there is we will never hear. It's almost tantalizing to see such wealth slipping away from us with every tick of the clock. How little we know about even our closest friends. What untapped reservoirs they are of character and insight. But it would take so long to learn everything there is about them. And what of the millions we have never met? What about their personalities, their stories? Friends, we would be enriched beyond measure by their acquaintance. But we never will be. There's not enough time, not in this life. And even after a lifetime of studying the Bible, we will all still acknowledge that we're merely paddling in the shallows. With regards to prayer and communion with God, we're still beginning. We are novices in the Christian life. Do you feel these frustrations? Do you hunger for more and more of life? Does your heart ache at the all too swift passing of the years? Is there not a nagging sense of unfulfillment, no matter how happy you may be? Well, friends, praise God for heaven. Praise Him for eternal life. Every good longing within us is an echo of eternity in our souls. It's a pointer to eternal life. With eternal life, we will have enough time to explore everything. The prospect of living forever in a renewed existence answers the frustrations that we have about the brevity of this life. We weren't created for 80 short years. Our Creator didn't design such beings of such complexity and capacity for just a mere handful of decades. He has put eternity in our hearts. He has an eternity planned for us to blossom in. This eternal life, it won't be static, but it will be a continual development. Though we will be perfect in heaven, we will still change and will still grow. The boy Jesus was perfect, and yet we're told that he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. God will bring out in his children all that he has implanted in us in a universe of unlimited richness and beauty. and it will never end. It will never end. This life, it's overshadowed by an awareness that nothing lasts. But that shadow will be lifted in heaven. If the thoughts of unending life for trillions and trillions of years is oppressive to you because of the threat of boredom, remember this. Though it is not fully comprehensible to us, an infinite God is infinitely inexhaustible. We will never know everything there is. There will be an infinite treasure of power and wisdom and love and beauty which we will spend this eternity discovering and enjoying. We'll never sit down like Alexander the Great and weep because there are no more worlds to conquer. When, after a million years in heaven, we pull ourselves with unspeakable exhilaration over that massive peak of some glorious divine truth, we will be utterly astonished to find ourselves not at the top, but merely at the foothills. Before us, as far as the eye can see, will be mountains and valleys and forests and height and light that we could never have imagined. There will be no boredom in the age to come. And isn't it true that in this age, during moments of utter happiness, those taster moments, those sample moments, those moments where we get a hint of the fragrance of heaven, there's a voice inside us that whispers, I want this to go on forever. Well, friends, in heaven, it will. Do you want this eternal life? Would it not be a tragedy for you to have been thinking about heaven this evening and then miss it? Would that not be a tragedy? The only door is the Lord Jesus. And that door is still open. Come to him, enter through him into eternal life and joy. Why would you refuse? What good reason can you give for rejecting Christ and choosing hell? If you ask him to receive you now, he will. Turn away from sin and death and call on Christ to save you. As we have been remembering today, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. It's a picture of faith and trust. You may be a believer this evening, and you may be needing the encouragement that this eternal life gives us. Life can be hard, and no fine words can change that. But in Romans 8:18, we read, our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Or Paul, and again in 2 Corinthians 4, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. What is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. These things, these difficult things in life, they will soon pass, and we will be with the Lord forever. All of us who are Christ's should live more consistently in the light of eternal life. We should be more heavenly minded, because our citizenship is there. We shouldn't work for food that spoils, but food that lasts. We're urged to stop chasing after the trinkets of this life and to lay up treasures in heaven. May God make us men and women and young people upon whose faces the light of heaven is shining. May we live in such a way that people will see we're different. May, by God's grace, may we bring many to heaven with us. Samuel Rutherford. He was a minister. He lived from 1600 to 1661. He ministered in the small village of Anworth near Aberdeen. And he knew something of what it was to live consistently in the light of eternal life. It's demonstrated in so much of his writings and letters. But he speaks in one of his poems of his dying desire that others may join him. Fair Anworth by the Solway, to me thou art still dear. E'en from the verge of heaven I drop for thee a tear. Oh, if one from Anworth meet me at God's right hand, my heaven will be two heavens in Emmanuel's land. Friend, will you be there at God's right hand? Let's thank God for eternal life. Amen.